This is Primetime Sports on the Fan Radio Network and Sirius Channel 97.
Welcome to Primetime Sports for Friday, January 14th. I am Jeff Blair sitting in for Bob McCowan. Bob will be back on Monday, joined now by our Friday roundtable, Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in Canada, Dave Perkins Incorporated, and Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. I'm sorry, ex of the Toronto Star, but I'm just trying to get some work for you, man. I'm looking out for you. Dave Perkins is available, people. If you're interested, you can reach him by email. Well,
no, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No.
Yes, you can. The NHL sent out its list of 36 players this week for the All-Star game. And essentially the two captains are going to pick, although what happens if Sidney Crosby can't play?
Then they'll replace him.
Then they'll replace him, okay.
I wonder if they'll make him show up, though. That's the...
Yeah, he's one of the captains, is he not?
Well, they haven't announced the captains yet, and I think one of them will probably be Eric Staal.
Okay.
Because it's in Carolina, and he is...
All right.
He's the face of their franchise, so I would think that he's going to be one of them.
Anyhow, they're going to be picking players from this pool of 36. Now, you know, I mean, I think... I understand it's hard to make the NHL All-Star game mean anything, because nobody's going to go out and try to... I mean... hit the hell out of each other in an All-Star game. Although, given the way headshots and blindside hits are in the league, now maybe you never know. That may happen. I think the only way you make this game mean anything, frankly, is, you know, have, you know, one year it's a team of Canadian players against a team of players from, you know, whether you want to call it Planet USA or...
Kind of tried that already.
In the American Hockey League has done it as well, but... do that, or I mean, to me, that's the only way you can make this work. But when I first heard this idea of having guys pick teams, I kind of rolled my eyes. But you know what? The more you do think about it, I mean, it does have the potential. If you can get somebody with a sense of humor involved in this, it does have the potential to be fun, doesn't it?
Well, for example, one of the things that I heard that was a good suggestion was once one Sedin is picked, pick the other one so they can't play together. And if Crosby is a captain, does he pick Ovechkin or not?
No, he picks the Sedin quadruplets.
He picks all four of them to play for? You know, it's interesting. The problem is that the most interesting thing about the All-Star weekend is going to happen on the Friday night, 2 days before the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the issue. I think it's a great idea.
But isn't that also kind of inside? Isn't it a little too inside hockey in some ways to have the players do that? You know, like,
I think fans will love it.
You think American fans will be sitting there kind of...
I don't
what's
care.
The humor behind these two
cares?
Guys?
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's a fair point. And, I mean, you know, I think part of the issue here, too, and we'll get to you guys, but I mean, part of the issue, too, is Brendan Shanahan was very clear when this this decision was made. You know, he said it's to make the game fun for the players. And I don't think he didn't give a rat's ass about the fans, but I think the NHL probably kind of realized they do have to, if you're going to have an All-Star game, you've got to do something to make the players want to get involved, right? I mean,
I think they should play winner-take-all for bulletin board cash.
That's right.
$600.
I think put up $100,000 and let the winner take it for charity. I love the idea of picking teams. I think it's great. I think it's actually going to be fun. Like he says, it might be the highlight of the weekend, but I think it'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know, all right, who do you pick? Who is, you know, who do you want to play with? Who... I think it's a great thing. I want to see them split up the Sedins, and then I want to see who the last guy picked is. Although, I think the way around that, so nobody's feelings are hurt, or wait till there's maybe six guys left and then say, okay, you take those three and you take those three.
Yeah.
And then that way nobody is last man picked and has to live with the stigma. But I think it's a great idea to do it. I'd like to see them. I mean, who cares who plays? Wales and Conference and...
Wales and Campbell. What have we had? We've had Wales and Campbell.
Yeah, it's
who North America versus the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when the Stanley Cup champion used to play the All-Star team of the other five teams. And that was at least kind of a real game. But I don't know. I like the idea. Why? What does it hurt to try?
Rich is working on a smart-ass comment.
No. I you put the Leafs in the shallow end of the pool, obviously. But the thing is that it's a weekend. It's a weekend not for the fans and not for the TV audience, but for the sponsorship, for the corporate people. And the fact that Friday's selection evening will draw more of an audience than the game itself doesn't make a difference, because it's all about the corporate people, the same way that the home run derby has drawn more than people actually watching the baseball All-Star game. Yeah. And so it's the whole thing. It's the wraparound and the fact that they've added something that is going to spur viewership is good for the league, but it's not the best thing for hockey, but it's good for the corporate sponsors and for the league and for the networks.
I'm just glad that it doesn't determine home ice advantage in the Stanley Cup final. What baseball does is the dumbest thing.
See, I think I like it.
I like it.
I like that.
I don't mind that.
I can't stand it. I think it's you've got, by the time that the ninth inning rolls around, you've got the Pittsburgh Pirates outfielder and the Kansas City Royals closer determining who is going to have home field advantage.
That's not the case.
No, Rivera always closes.
That's not the case. If people make that argument. That's not the case. Well, you'd be surprised how many, and this is what I like about it, frankly, is the fact that the managers are, you can't just run the dregs, such as they are in an All-Star game, out in the ninth inning. It's amazing that
Wasn't there one a couple years ago where there was like a situation where
there was the tie game?
Yeah, they ran out of pitchers and tied.
I'm trying to remember. Now I wish I actually would have been nice if I actually would have done some research before the show.
No,
but I do remember.
Why did you start now?
I do remember there was one situation where I was looking at it late in the game. I was like, these two players have no relevance to who's going to be playing in the World Series.
I don't know. I mean, Yeah, to me, the essence of the baseball All-Star game always was the one-on-one matchup anyhow. So, I mean, I would have watched it with or without the, the home field advantage being decided. I watched it for the one-on-one match.
You're probably thinking of the Trevor Hoffman blown save, and he was on the Padres, and they weren't contending, and the American League won, and Padres and Hoffman had no input or no factor in that decision that the American League won home field advantage and the American League went on to win.
I would think so, but Trevor Hoffman blew so many saves. I remember in big games watching. I can't remember if it's that
one. Going directly to the Hall of Fame.
No, he isn't.
We can talk about that. You don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame?
I don't think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Never. I'm not a big closer guy, but
I'm not a big closer guy.
Him
either.
And Mariano are going directly to the Hall of Fame.
No. Those are two different cats. Mariano's got way more innings than Trevor Hoffman. Trevor Hoffman got so few innings, he'd have fewer innings than anybody in the Hall of Fame, except, I guess,
Suter.
Suter.
Suter had fewer.
And
actually, Suter Dan Shulman made that argument.
In the one inning.
Dan Shulman made that inning argument.
Era. I'm not a Hoffman guy,
You all three of you vote, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you voting for Hoffman?
I haven't decided. It's five more years.
I know it's five more years.
Yeah. But Mariano, for sure.
There's no doubt. He walks
and
him because he's the best postseason pitcher.
Suter ushered in the specialist era of the one-inning guy.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, the fact that he only pitched one inning per outing made him unique and gave him the credentials to go in. But anybody else, like Lee Smith and those guys, I'm not voting
Suter
for those
Suter wasn't
guys.
A one-inning guy at the beginning.
No.
It was good. One.
By the way, Mike Messina, if you ever read the Yankee Years, the Joe Torre book, Mike Messina would disagree with you on Mariano Rivera. He carved Rivera in that book.
He did.
Who did?
Mike Messina.
Mike Messina.
Yeah, he said, everybody says...
He ain't getting in either.
No.
Everybody says that Mariano Rivera is a great pitcher. Well, I would have rings in 2001 and 2004. If it wasn't for that guy.
This, of course, is the guy who complained about the Tom Cheek ceremony because it affected his... He's a Stanford guy. They've all got issues, Stanford guys. My tendency would be to probably vote for Hoffman first ballot, but it's the closer's the one. I always tell people when you're talking about the Hall of Fame, they talk about steroids as an issue. I say, not to me, the issue that I really have a problem with and struggle with, frankly, is the closer. That's the issue that I have, But anyhow, that's another.
We'll come back in 5 years.
Yeah, we'll come back in 5 years and talk about that. Phil Kessel, of course, is the Leafs rep in the All-Star game. I did a call-in portion on that. I was surprised, frankly, how many people thought it was okay that Phil Kessel was there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I would rather have Grabowski there, but frankly, I'd rather that no Leaf was there.
What do you think Mikhail Grabowski would rather do? And this is no offense to the people of Carolina. What do you think Mikhail Grabowski would rather do? Go to Carolina or go to a beach somewhere or just hang out with his newborn baby?
Yeah. But he should have that, the option, right?
Well, you don't get the option.
No, but what I'm saying is you can look into that before you make the decision. I mean, I found the interesting thing is the fact that this was a decision made by the general managers, largely.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, that gets to the thing. I would have to think that Brian Burke, you would have to have a... Yeah. You'd have to have a very pointed argument with Brian Burke to not get Phil Kessel in that game. Even if Phil Kessel had one goal, I'm sure he'd be going.
You think there were any favors called in? Or?
Well.
I just wonder.
It was either him or Nazem Kadri.
Oh, yeah.
Where is Nazem Kadri?
So, he's in Abbotsford with the Marlies today.
But again, so generally, you guys are okay with that all-star idea, with the whole picking the team
love
and everything. You have no problem with...
Love it.
With that.
What don't you like about it?
I don't know. I'm just kind of...
Hokey?
Yeah,
a little. Who do you want to play in the game? Like, how do you want the teams picked?
I still like the idea of if the game's in the States, you have an American team against a team from the rest of, from Europe and Canada. The game's in Canada, you have, you have a Canadian team playing against a team of Americans and other players. Frankly, what I'd also like to see the NHL do sometime is take the All-Star game to Europe and see how that would work.
I wouldn't have a problem with that.
And then have a European team against a North American team. I don't know. I mean, at least if
the problem with it is what you suggested with the Canada is that when the All-Star game was in Toronto, Matt Sundin and Dmitry Yuskevich played for the world team. So fans, well, I mean, Toronto's a bad example because it's always
quiet. You mean
quiet.
The fans were confused here?
Because they're always quiet.
No, they could cheer and boo for them at the same time. I mean,
but
it was
really quiet. They didn't know who to cheer for. But I like the Europe idea.
Or you could take 2 weeks and have like a senior junior tournament where you have all the different countries come in and have their players playing. And then you draw. Like,
NHLPA
huge
did propose
Canadian
that at one
interest.
Time.
What did they propose?
Well, one of the things that the NHL was looking into, and they were looking into it as recently as last summer, is having a World Cup every 4 years again. You'd have the Olympics every 4 years with the NHL participation.
During the season?
Well, that was the argument. Then you have a World Cup in the middle. So every 2 years, there'd be either a World Cup or an Olympics. And the NHL wanted to have it with the World Cup in August, September, as it has been historically in the past when it was the Canada Cup. And the NHLPA did suggest, Glenn Healy was one of the guys behind it, suggested doing it instead of the All-Star game every 4 years, taking a week off and having, when the players were already in game shape, having your World Cup in the middle of the season. But the league wasn't as excited about doing it in the middle of the year as the Players Association was.
Yeah, well, then you'd risk injury, too, if you were to do that.
Because they'd be hitting.
Yeah. They'd be hitting. I will agree with you guys. I do think the fact that the selection show will at least... I mean, I'll watch the selection show.
Sure.
I won't watch anything else, frankly, but I will watch the selection show just because it'll be fun. But, I mean, that gets to the point. If that's the highlight of your weekend, if that's the highlight of All-Star weekend, this is a selection show.
The All-Star game is what it is. It's never going to change. It's unless you put $500,000 down at center ice and we're splitting this 20 ways, whoever
does it. That's
what I said
20 minutes ago.
It's a great idea. On the bulletin board.
But what if you play in the winning team, you're allowed one free headshot during the rest of the season.
You're already allowed all the free headshots you want.
It's like you would skate, you would have like a get out of jail little logo in your helmet, and that would entitle you to that would entitle you to one free headshot where you could not be called the penalty. You do that instead of money.
Or make that one of the skills.
Elliot's not even, you're not even jumping.
Crash test dummies.
I think it's funny.
Headshots.
Crash. Who can deliver the most force?
we've got to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to shift our focus to the National Football League. A big weekend of football ahead, obviously, and we'll talk a little bit about teams other than the Jets and Patriots, hopefully, even though they seem to have dominated most of the discussion. This is Primetime Sports and the Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet, and Sirius 97.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network and Sirius Channel 97.
We are back with Primetime Sports. It's the Friday Roundtable. Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada, Dave Perkins, ex of the Toronto Star, and Richard Griffin, currently of the Toronto Star. Well, it is a big NFL weekend, and I mean every weekend, I guess, during football season is a big NFL weekend. But it, I think it's safe to say that these games are probably, especially the Patriots-Jets game, people who even don't follow the NFL on a hardcore basis are probably looking forward to this. To this game. And, I mean, Dave, I defer to you with all things NFL because I know you've got some, you'll have some numbers and some, you'll have something pithy to say about betting when it comes to the NFL. So I'm going to let you start. First of all, of the games this weekend, which one interests you the most?
Pittsburgh-Baltimore.
Okay.
Well, they just play wars. They've had some terrific games this year. The Monday night game or
13-10. Yeah. For a 13-10 score, that was an incredible game.
It was an outstanding game, yeah. They really, you know, I kind of like both organizations. I'm not a Roethlisberger fan, but you know, the Steelers have been a pretty quality organization for a long time. And I the Ravens, you know, with this defense and the way they've been for the last decade, have been a pretty solid team. And there's a real body work there that you can, you know, they don't come and go like Atlanta and some of these teams.
Yeah, they're constant.
They've been hanging for a while, so that's the one game I want to watch. You know that, and I'm not a big fan of the Jets and all their yapping. And,
did you see the cover of the New York Post today?
No, what was that?
Everybody should go online and see. I don't even know if it was the front cover or the back cover, but it was Return of the Jedi, and they had all like they took the movie poster and they had Bill Belichick as Darth Vader, Tom Brady as Mark Hamill, Skywalker. Oh, they had Mark. Oh, it's just it's fantastic. They had Rex Ryan's wife in the Princess Leia Jabba the Hutt bikini.
Really,
I don't know who comes up with those headlines, but it was sheer genius. Like it was just brilliant.
Do you think is that game going to be close? Jets and Pats are like the people.
Yeah,
seem,
I
people
think the
seem
Jets will play them close.
Yeah,
but it's 9.5, 10 points. I don't know if I think they'll get inside of it, run bet the other way the way I'm going. But that'll be entertaining. I mean, I like to see the Jets get clobbered myself. But
well, when you look at
why you love that guy cover,
when you look at the best quarterbacks, the best two quarterbacks on each side. In the NFC, both of the best two quarterbacks are playing in Atlanta. Now you've got Green Bay and the Falcons. To me, that's the most compelling game of the weekend because they should win the next week, whether it's against Seattle, I hope not, but or the Bears. But, you know, you've got Roethlisberger on one side and Tom Brady. Now they've got a chance to play next week, and that becomes the best game of the playoffs. But right now, in this round, it would seem like the Packers and the Falcons, the winner of that game is going to go to the Super Bowl,
and also that's an indoor game, right? So I mean, that has potential to be a real track meet. Frankly, if you're looking for exciting offensive football, that's got potential to be a real track meet. I would think. Mm.
Do you not like Rex Ryan? Wouldn't you love to cover him?
Possibly, yeah. But I don't have to worry about it anymore.
don't you think?
No,
though,
I mean,
you're more of a buddy
isn't
guy.
I've
dealt
it a
with all
much.
Kinds of guys like that. He just wants to play off the press every week, and he wants to
play footsie with the press.
Apparently, yeah. No, you know, and there's a guy who went to school in
Toronto,
yeah, York Mills CI and Winfield's Public.
I don't know. I find him. You know, after a while, you just kind of tune it out because to me, it's way too contrived.
I don't know why the other guy's poking Tom Brady's cage. Cromarty. That might be the one guy you might not. That'd be like fiddling with Michael Jordan, I would think.
Yeah, I'm not entirely certain. I don't get the Tom.
And that's the guy who gets burned all the time too. Like the other guy, Revis, is unbelievable.
Yeah,
Cromarty's
the
one
that
gets
posted.
Hatred. Like, yeah. I don't get the Tom Brady hatred, do you?
No. Well,
yeah, he's better looking than any of us. Well, and yeah, he's married to a supermodel.
Speak for yourself, Richard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
He's successful.
He's never struck me as a type of guy that you'd develop a hatred for. You know, I have an easier time thinking that Ben Roethlisberger's not a worthy person than Tom Brady. I don't know. Tom Brady, he's just a guy who executes a pretty good offense, and that's about the extent of it.
Won a few Super Bowls.
Yeah. I mean,
Dave, what do you think the NFL would think about Roethlisberger playing in the Super Bowl after the problems he had in the offseason going in? You don't think they have any issue at all?
I don't think they want people writing the Ben Roethlisberger saga for a week. Same way I don't think the NFL wanted Michael Vick as the fodder for, you know, guys for a week before the Super Bowl. I think they're real happy to see him go.
Yeah, but you know, the NFL, the football media in the States has a way of not necessarily, like, they'll address that issue once and then let it go.
Well, that didn't happen with Ray Lewis.
Yeah, but that was a guy getting murdered, wasn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is...
That's pretty significant.
Yeah, of course. But the thing is, they didn't let it go that week. If you don't think that they'd be running Roethlisberger every day for a week,
right?
Absolutely they would.
Sure they would.
Absolutely.
They'd dig up every woman in every bar in the South that he said or did something to.
Yeah, well, do you think... I mean, they've got a real good chance of going, don't they?
A good chance.
The Steelers. I mean, like, who would you think right now, if you had to pick the two teams?
Well, New England is an overwhelming choice right now in Las Vegas.
What are the odds?
To go to the Super Bowl.
They'd probably love New England and Green Bay in Super Bowl setting. That would be perfect for them.
Rematch of what, 96? Going on the Superdome, 96 or 97?
97.
Yeah.
The Falcons just kind of... They don't get
a lot. They're a nice team, but and they've got the Matt Ryan.
They don't
thing
get a
going
lot of
play.
Don't, yeah. Really, you
don't
know,
teams
amazing.
Historically don't do well. I mean, New Orleans was a exception last year, but dome teams historically don't do well in the postseason, especially on their own.
It's almost shaping up to be if you're the NFL, you're looking at it, you're saying you don't really like Atlanta too much, and you probably prefer not to get Seattle there because it makes your regular season look like a total mockery. But other than that, you would take any of those AFC teams, and you'd be more than happy with Green Bay or Chicago. Yeah. You would be ecstatic with six of those eight teams in that Super Bowl.
Green Bay's got probably the biggest traveling fan base, right?
Yeah.
Pittsburgh's is pretty close. Pittsburgh's is pretty close. I mean, I remember that.
If you had a Pittsburgh-Green Bay Super Bowl, it would be tough to scalp tickets.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I think of the Super Bowl in Detroit I covered. Pittsburgh fans, they had huge trailers in the parking lot. It's like 35 below in Detroit, downtown Detroit, and they're tailgating. And I knew they were popular, but I had no idea that they traveled as well. You talk to NFL people, they'll tell you that they travel as well as Packers fans do. It'd be good to see the Packers, I think, in the Super Bowl. Just the Packers make it interesting. I think the Packers bring an element to it. And quite frankly, I also liked...
Brett Favre wouldn't be cheering for them.
No, but who the hell cares about Brett Favre?
His sister wouldn't be.
Boy, there is a shock. There is a shock. But you know, when I look at the Packers, the way they defended against Michael Vick was really impressive. Like that was an impressive defensive performance. That was an impressive job of coaching. Somebody said that Dom Capers should be coach of the year automatically for the way they took care of Vic. Do you think they have enough to get to win, to get past anybody in the AFC?
When they're healthy defensively, Green Bay can compete with anybody. But, you know, you look at Atlanta and they have this blitzing defense against a guy like a Green Bay quarterback, Rodgers could stay in that game and win that game at home. And you know, people are saying the Green Bay would be the team that could pull an upset there. But, you know, that's a difficult situation with a defense that swarms like Atlanta does. And Green Bay has had ups and downs defensively. And if they're 100% healthy and on all cylinders, and maybe even outdoors, they're a better defending team than they are in a situation like they're going into this week.
One reason I wouldn't mind seeing Atlanta win is because the GM has a CFL pedigree, Tom Dimitroff, who cut his teeth with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
He went to high school in Ottawa, did he not, or something like that?
I believe that's where his dad was. Off the top of my head, I can't remember. But Saskatchewan's really where he really began his executive career, and that would be a great thing to see a guy who began that way win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I keep thinking back to the Jets and Patriots, though, and during the call-in portion of the show, we were talking about Reggie Jackson coming out in ESPN in New York and telling the Jets to...
Reggie was the voice of reason.
The voice of reason. Yeah. And it made me...
What does that tell you?
Do you think that has any at all, that has any, in any way, shape, or form, that'll factor into what happens this weekend, the talking? Like, I can't...
Absolutely.
You think it will?
You know, here's the thing. I always believe that if you need to be motivated by that at this point of year, there's something missing from you on the inside. But I remember having a conversation with Kelly Rudy about that. And as a former player, he's got much better insight into it than I do. At this time of year, when everything is so important, and also you're so bruised and beaten up from your whole season, any little thing that gives you that extra edge makes a difference. And maybe it seems stupid, but the way they're all talking this week, absolutely. I think so.
Jeff, you know in all sports that teams and rosters usually reflect their leader, usually reflect their manager or their coach. And I think that Rex Ryan is trying to bring the focus onto himself, and then all of a sudden he's got this guy off to the side. Going,
no, that's
yeah,
not
yeah.
Exactly. Wasn't supposed to work that way.
No, you be quiet.
You be quiet.
It's all me.
Exactly. I'm going to be the ass. The rest of you guys be quiet.
But I think it's just part and parcel of what Ryan is bringing to the table, that he can't control what some of his wingnuts do on the side.
Well, we got it. We got a break, and when we come back, we will switch to Primetime Bullets. We're going to talk, speaking of wingnuts, we're going to talk a little bit about Manny Ramirez when we come back. This is Primetime Sports and the Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet and Sirius 97.
Primetime Sports is on the Fan Radio Network and Sirius Channel 97.
We are back with Primetime Sports, the Friday Roundtable. Well, we... time for the Primetime Bullets here as we kind of bring this to close. Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada, Rich Griffin of the Toronto Star, Dave Perkins, man of many hats, joins us for the roundtable. I know the guy may not be able to play a lick anymore, but when I keep hearing that the Blue Jays are one of five teams that are watching Manny Ramirez work out in Arizona right now, I get a little excited. I'd like to see Manny with the Jays. Wouldn't you, Rich?
I think that he's in a situation that Frank Thomas was in when he went to the A's in 2006. Nobody wanted him. He tried to reestablish himself, had a great year. Jays signed him the next year. So if the Jays are going to sign Manny, it should be this year and not next year.
That's right. And we'll give him a two-year contract. I mean, look, if Manny comes here cheaply, relatively cheaply, and you know, there could be worse things than watching. I mean, one thing we know about Manny, he hits at the Rogers Center.
Well, wait a minute.
Okay, that was before.
That was before he failed his test for PEDs and came back with an OPS of 700 and something. I'm not a Manny guy. You bring in Manny Ramirez for the sideshow, it undermines everything that Anthopoulos has been trying to do. He's got a plan. He's sticking to it. We've all given him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah, I think you bring this guy in, all of a sudden now you're playing Adam Lind every day at first base.
Yeah, so Manny takes Edwin Encarnacion's job. What's the downside?
Yeah, what's the downside of that? Yeah,
Lind is going to be the DH, don't you think?
No, Lind's going to. I'm absolutely.
I think they'd play Encarnacion at first base before Lind.
I think Lind will be at first. You know, he'll start spring training at first base. If he stinks, then they'll change it. But I think the plan right now is absolutely that Adam Lind's the everyday first baseman.
Bigger question: do you want Manny Ramirez around young players?
Yeah, because you know it's funny, when he was with the Dodgers, I asked Russell Martin about this, and Russell Martin said, "Here's the thing. I mean, you know, Manny just kind of, he's there when the game starts. This idea that Manny's somehow going around the clubhouse and, you know, and poisoning young minds, he's not. He's just, he's a totally benign influence.
Unless you're the traveling secretary.
Yeah, right.
And you're 70 and he knocks you over.
I think by now, I don't think there's too many young players are going to look at Manny Ramirez and go, you know what? That's the way we do it.
And Terry Francona in Boston and people there before him said that nobody works harder at the art of hitting than Manny Ramirez. And he studies more video, and that's what young players are looking at. They're not looking at, you know, spiking himself in the outfield or going for a whiz in the scoreboard or anything like that. They're looking at the art of the game that they are playing and how they earn their money. And Manny is not a bad influence in that regard.
No, he is a guy that might – people might come out to watch him play, even in Toronto.
I don't buy that.
People might come out to watch him play.
The reason I don't buy that argument anymore, and I would go watch Manny Ramirez hit. I think he's a fascinating character. But I remember the 2 years Roger Clemens was here. You could go back and look at those games he started, and there was
no
noticeable bump in attendance, which is amazing and disappointing at the same thing. So I don't know if I believe that Manny Ramirez is going to sell you more tickets.
The difference is, he would play more often than Roger, and he's more of a character than Roger is.
But people knew who was pitching. The only thing that'll get attendance back is winning.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with you, but I'm saying I think that Manny at least it creates an element of fun, I think, around the team.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a year that they're going to win anyway, 2011. And, you know, if they bring a guy in as a bridge, and if he does okay, you sign him 1 year and an option, you buy out his option, I don't see a downside.
Yeah, I don't either.
I just don't see that this was part of the plan that Alex has been putting together.
Shifting focus, the Hamilton Tiger Cats, surprise, surprise, apparently are staying in Hamilton in a newly remodeled Ivor Wynne Stadium. This kind of ties into the whole Pan Am Games thing, Dave, but was there ever any doubt in your mind that that was how it was going to work out?
Yeah, I think this thing's ludicrous. They should have long ago pulled the plug on this. This rebuilding Ivor Wynne, God bless the Hamilton Tiger Cats and this Canadian Football League, I got no problem with it. But the Pan Am Games are about leaving a legacy for amateur sports, and this leaves absolutely zero legacy. It's just a way to subsidize pro athletes again.
You know, unless
there's no legacy.
I think the thinking is that there'll be some sort of track and field element to that.
There's no track and field at Ivor Wynne. The track and field's already been yanked out of Hamilton. It was going to be a soccer facility. We don't need another soccer stadium. You know, this was strictly a way to rebuild. You know, a stadium for the Tiger Cats. Why? Because look at the board. You know, when this whole thing started, Braley on the board. He's since left. You know, there was a lot of football backing. McGinty wanted some help for Hamilton in the bid. How this helps a Pan Am is beyond me.
Is it even a done deal yet?
No, it's not.
It's not a done deal. So City Council has to.
Plenty of chance for this to fall apart.
Yeah. Well,
Hamilton has commissioned a minor study. They want to hear back in 10 days or something. Whether or not this will work.
My sense, just from people in City Council, and that is that it's probably going to fly, but that they were obligated to do this because the idea of voting for it right away, essentially the first thing your public's going to say is, well, you rushed into this.
Yeah,
even though 10 days, we all know 10 days is not going to make a difference, but you know what? At least it allows you to go to the voters and say, you know what, we did.
But this has been going on forever. They've gone in every location in Hamilton except your front yard.
They asked, and we have a tree. We have a tree that cannot be
taken
down.
Right? This is crazy. Nothing worked for Young, and that's fine, Bob. You know, I've got no problem with Young, what he's done there. But it didn't work for the Tiger Cats. It didn't work for the city. Somebody wanted West Harbor. Ian Troop, the CEO of Pan Am 215, said there's a plan B here, and that's to build a 6,000-seat soccer stadium down at the West Harbor and make it for community uses after, and the Tiger Cats can go twist.
Are you surprised that the idea of putting a stadium that both the Argos and Tie Cats could use never got any traction?
It's the best idea there is.
Why is that?
I have no clue why.
Because, I know you wrote about it. A lot of people wrote about it. I like the idea. I mean, are you surprised that never got any traction? I mean, what would be better than having a 20 or 25,000, a real good facility of that size situated equidistant between the two cities? Where you can tailgate. And it got no traction.
Lots of highways.
I thought, would the Toronto fans go there?
Every Argonaut fan I talk to tells me they don't like the Rogers Center. So,
if you're a real hardcore Argos fan, you're going to go there.
And the hardcore Ticat fan will travel 15 miles.
My only question is, on games where you've gotten great walk-up, and there have been a few over the years, do you still get it if it's out there?
Well, if the subway line or the GO train line is close by, as it could be, who knows?
Yeah, I think the issue from the Hamilton point of view, first of all, there's the identity issue, but the other issue, I think, is the fact that it might be harder for, you know, for a lower income. If you don't have a car, it's harder to go to that facility from Hamilton than where it is now. But I mean, I think Dave makes the point. You would assume that there would be some sort of transit improvement part and parcel with that. And you know, as far as the identity thing goes, I don't know. You know, it's still the Tiger Cats.
Jeff, I think you've got it with the identity thing. I mean, Hamilton Tiger Cat fans don't want anything to do with Argos. And I think that when this Pan Am bid went through, they were assuming that there would be a new stadium somewhere, you know, one of those locations, right. And it wouldn't be Ivor Wynn being rebuilt. And I'm surprised that the Pan Am people haven't stepped in and said, what the heck's going on?
Well, I think exactly. at this point, though, I think they probably don't know which end is up.
And the Pan Am people look silly because they've set deadline after deadline after deadline. They keep extending them. Now there's another deadline of February the 1st, but who believes in their deadlines anymore?
We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I want to go back to it because there was some discussion about Trevor Hoffman, who retired from the game. Frankly, guys, do you think he's the first ballot Hall of Famer or a Hall of Famer at all?
Well, you all three of you vote.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not sure whether I would vote for him. Again, it's like people say, well, if he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, why would he be a second, third, or fourth ballot Hall of Famer? But in terms of being the best at his job, he's arguably one of the five best in history at closing, and therefore, does that make him a Hall of Famer, being the best at what you do, even though closing is sort of an undervalued skill?
It's almost, to me, he's almost, and I'll have to look at it, and I'd consider it, I think, but, you know, there's almost a Lee Smith element here, too, isn't there?
Yeah.
With Trevor Hoffman.
Yeah, I think he was a better pitcher than Lee Smith. Lee Smith isn't ever going to make it, I don't think.
But there's no comparison between this guy and Mariano.
Rivera did it in the postseason, and he did it his whole career in the American League, in the American League East, toughest division in baseball.
And he was a two-inning guy.
Right,
yeah.
When he had to be.
Yeah.
And this guy, you know, Hoffman, he's got decent numbers. It was all put up in the National League. He didn't have the postseason numbers anywhere. Now, you can't blame him for his team not getting to the postseason. But he just didn't have the body of work of Rivera, not even close.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I made this point earlier, I think the whole notion, everybody talks about the Hall of Fame vote, about steroids as being an issue, but I think for a lot of people who move beyond steroids and performance-enhancing substances, it really is hard to define the closers, where the closer fits in, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's part and parcel to the loss of the 300-win starting pitcher,
right?
Because of all of a sudden the closer comes in for one inning. And why is he a closer? Because he only had two pitches instead of three or four that were major league quality pitches. And now he goes out there, pitches the ninth inning 400 times, and he's got all of these numbers. But over the course of his career, he's got less than 1,000 innings pitched.
Yeah. Guys, we got to run. Listen, I really appreciated this. Thanks so much to Elliot Friedman, Richard Griffin, Dave Perkins. This is Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Primetime Sports. The Fan Radio Network, Rogers Sportsnet, and Sirius 97. Bob Catt will be back Monday. Bye-bye.